The Business Bunker.
Welcome to The Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 7th of April, and you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jewel Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, how are you?
Well, have you noticed I'm rocking the Humpty Dumpty look today? As it's Easter.
I didn't want to say.
I looked it through my, I rifled through my wardrobe at 5 o'clock this morning, looking for the sort of most Easter eggish, that was quite an Easter eggish look.
You see where I'm going. I've seen a few of those, yeah.
So rocking the Humpty Dumpty, but awful news last night, Paul.
We are.
Terrible news. I got all tucked up, snuggled under my blanket, lit the wood burner, and...
You don't want to do that under a blanket. No wonder you had terrible news.
Aside the blanket.
You get smoked out, did you?
Aside the blanket.
Right, okay.
Got him a little Easter egg and a little glass of something gorgeous and got ready for pole dark. And of course I got all my days mixed up.
It was Monday yesterday.
Yeah.
You missed all my days. You missed pole dark, did you?
But the exciting news is, listener, that I now have 2 hours, because I missed it last Sunday as well, so I've got 2 hour omnibus tonight to watch on catch up.
You're going
to
watch it on the bus?
No, on the catch up.
Are you?
Yeah, I've heard all your jokes before, all your East End.
Of course, I've only got
omnibus
two.
Joke. You've just turned me up, haven't you?
Turn you up?
Turn me on.
No, I just turned up the headphones because I couldn't hear in mine.
So much better.
Yeah. Good.
Who might our sponsor be this week?
And this week's show sponsor is IPS Security. IPS Security. Unfortunately, I don't have a Twitter handle at the moment, but I are working on it. But we have posted on the Twitter a link to their website, and on the Kent Business Radio website, there is a link to their website. IPS handle all secure kind of disposal of documents and things like that.
Shredding,
and they also shred disks. And other electronic media. So they do dispose of all kinds of data that is sensitive and shouldn't be left hanging around.
I use discs, old discs, to scare birds.
Do you?
Yeah, hang them up like scarecrows.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyone in particular, like the Beatles or Rolling Stones?
No, I really do know all your jokes now. Anyway, how was your Easter? Have you got a kitchen yet?
No.
So still cooking on a...
I'm still not cooking at all because I've got nothing to cook on.
So you're going down to the kebab shop or barrister broker if he's nice.
Exactly. But no, I was working over the weekend anyway. Yeah, lots of different things to do.
So did you have an egg?
No. No.
Not one egg?
No.
Not one Easter egg?
No.
What did you have then?
Well, nothing. I didn't see anyone. I was down here.
All the time?
Yeah.
Well, didn't you buy an egg on the way and down here?
Why would I do that?
It's Easter.
I'm on a diet.
Oh.
I don't eat chocolate.
Just eat the air inside.
I don't eat chocolate anyway.
Just eat the air in the hollow. I would have had the outer shell for you.
Oh, we know what you would have done. Yeah.
I would have. I'm working, Paul Andrews, on you know, Kent Dark Chocolate. They've been on Scoff and Quaff, which
is
every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Superior show. I'm working with them on doing an Easter egg with chocolate brownies inside, homemade chocolate brownies inside. How nice would that be?
Yeah. Just a 9 million calories per serving.
Okay. That's what I'm going to do for next year.
That'll work, won't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we've got a packed show today, and we would like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01 303 874 998. That's 01 303 874 998. Or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. So do send us a tweet if you'd like to say hello, tell us a little bit about your business, or if you're doing a fundraiser, an event, or anything else. We would love to hear from you.
Or if you know what happened in pole dark on Sunday.
No, well, you don't want to know, do you? If you're gonna watch it on catch up, mind you, you're not remotely interested in the story, are you?
No, we just want to see what Aidan got up to.
You just sit there and dribble at the bloke without his shirt on. Is all you do.
Yeah. Well,
you have the sound off and everything.
I just want to see. Did he go swimming again in the lake?
Well, of course he did.
Did he get his scythe out?
Of course he did.
You know, that's what I want to know.
Exactly. Anyway, we've had loads of tweets and we will read some of those, and we've had a few emails which we will talk about too. I want to tell you about a couple of things that are happening fairly soon now, new on the horizon. Here on Channel Radio, later on in April, we have a new show launching, and it will be broadcasting live on air on Thursday mornings between 10 and 11 a.m.
Good slot.
And it's called The Community Show. And basically, we will be talking to people that are running charities, fundraising events, social businesses, anything related to the community, community activities. There'll be guests, there'll be some music, it's a magazine show, and there'll be a chance to tell people about your charity and any fundraisers you're doing. And the show is presented by the lovely Laura Burton Lawrence, ably aided by the barrister broker, Russell.
Who's even lovelier.
Ably...
In my opinion.
We don't care about your opinion, though.
Of course you do.
She's going to be helped by Russell in it, and we're really looking forward to it. And you can follow them. They've got a Twitter account up and running. It's community_show. community_show. So do give them a follow, and it's launching in 2 weeks' time on a Thursday morning, 10 to 11 o'clock, here on channelradio.co.uk.
That's a cracker, because of course charities are brilliant fun to work with. I've worked with quite a few in the PR business, and
absolutely
great fun. But Barrister Broker, of course, cut his teeth as a co-presenter on the Scoff and Quaff show.
He did indeed.
And a very good job, and he's coming on again, I think, later on in the so Laura, I shall train him up for you. Don't you worry.
Sorry about that, Laura.
Yeah. We've had a tweet from the lovely Alex Waterton, mm-hmm. F Keys. He says, the teams at F Keys and ADM Computing are listening in to Vanilla Web and Jewel Sirkin on Business Bunker Radio. Have a great show. And also Jason Kay. Do you know Jason Kay?
Yes. He tweeted in last week.
I'm just going to follow him.
We got an email from him as well.
Well, he's listening in, so good morning to you. And Miss Moneypenny Services says... something about, hang on, she's agreeing with me. Chocolate brownie and an Easter egg sounds like a perfect match with a pole dart night in.
Yeah, absolutely. Except Claire.
She gets it.
Claire, for that is who Miss Moneypenny is, is about to run a marathon for charity.
Right.
Whereas you aren't running anywhere, you're just scoffing heaps of chocolate.
I'll take the dog out. Yeah. You know, stroll out the front.
Yeah, to the burger van.
Yeah, we do have a burger van.
I know you do. Yeah. I know you do. I know you took the dog to the burger van.
Yeah, and back.
And that, with a burger.
Yeah.
For you and the dog. Absolutely. The other thing that I wanted to mention is, when talking about charities, is there's a Zumbathon coming up.
Is this where you strip naked?
No. That could be even worse. It's worse than me stripping naked, if that is entirely possible. The Zumbathon is taking place on May the 9th, and it's going to be at the Aylesford Sports College, which is in Teapot Lane. Which is somewhat appropriate in Aylesford, just outside Maidstone, on May the 9th. You can come and buy tickets on the day. Just turn up on the day and buy tickets. They're only 10 quid to get in. And there's a Zumbathon going on. And the Zumbathon is to raise money equally for two fabulous charities, the Kent Deaf Children's Society, of which I am proud to be the president, and the Herbs Palsy Group.
Are you the president of that yet?
No, I'm not.
About time.
No.
It won't be long, will it?
No. I don't need to be the president of every charity to raise money for them. We are raising money equally for those two august charities. And if you look on the Twitter by following me on Vanilla Web, there is a link to my Just Giving page, my Virgin Giving page, which is Paul Andrews BB. Paul Andrews BB is my Just Giving page, but you can find it on Twitter by following me, because it's all over there and it's all over my Facebook page. And I want your money. So please go in and donate, even if it's a pound, but I prefer £1,000. Donate your money. And allegedly, what's going to happen, depending on how much money is donated, is depending on what bizarre items of clothing I will be wearing when I lead the Zumbathon. That's the deal. Personally, the two ladies that have got involved in sorting this out, I think have been reading 50 Shades of Grey or something, because they've got very carried away with this.
Have they?
Yeah.
You're not going to look like that awful man in that advert. Don't you think your girlfriend looks hot like me? You know, the man with the big bottom and the heels.
I'm afraid it could well be something along those lines.
Well, you've got the bottom for it, let's face it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
So it could well be something like that. Fluorescent pink tutus were mentioned.
Oh, no.
And various elements of underwear, but we shall see.
Is there a dinner as well?
No. It's just in the afternoon.
Right.
It's the first thing she asks every time. Is there food?
Well, I was just wondering, you know, whether it would put people off, you in a pink tutu.
Hey, listen, I could put people off no matter
what.
Whether you're eating or not, it's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
I think they would be better off getting people to raise money to stop me doing it, but there you go.
And now James at Be Mentoring Plus is saying, will Jules Serkin be joining at the Zoomathon? That would be great to see. Now, why would that be great to see? Because I would...
Well, it would really, wouldn't it?
I would look quite normal, I think, next to you in a pink tutu.
Well, maybe that's why it would be great to see you actually looking normal for a change.
We've had a lovely tweet from JR Car Parts. Mm. They say a massive hello to Jules Serkin and quite a small one to you.
Oh, do they? Thank you. I'm sure they did.
Sort of a little pixie hello to you.
Oh, yeah. Hello. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah, because of your pink tutu, I think it's put them off.
Anyway, just to come back to my Zumbathon fundraising.
It's all about you.
Yeah, it's all about me, this show. I need your money. So get in there and donate. We've had a couple of donations already. So big thank you to Stu, Jamie and Tony H., for their donations so far, but I only put the page up a couple of hours ago, so...
You're going to look like that... who was that sort of cartoon woman that was on telly with the rosy cheeks and the long eyelashes? That's what you'll look like.
Betty Boop?
Well, one of those, yeah. That's what you'll look like.
Really?
Polka dot and things like
that. Was she bald then?
No, but they'll probably put a wig on you, won't they?
Oh, quite possibly.
You'll probably have some sort of, you know, Amy Winehouse.
Carmen Miranda type hat. Probably, quite possibly.
Talking of Carmen Miranda.
Yeah, as we were.
Sally for Cakes tweeted me during the Superior Show, Scoff and Quaff, live every Tuesday, 11 to 12. And she sent me a picture of a lovely lemon meringue cake.
Drizzle cake.
It was a lemon meringue and drizzling. I mean, all in one.
She's a temptress, that Sally.
She got it in the bag. She did.
Yeah, absolutely.
All in one. She's a temptress.
She's a temptress.
Yeah, she's a seductress. She is indeed.
Absolutely. While we're talking about such things, though, I want to read this. It's quite long, but it's worthwhile. I don't know if you remember, last week we were talking about a Kickstarter project that had happened that was being run by the gorgeous Ashley Madden.
Oh, yeah.
And if you remember, there was a bit of contretemps about how I actually pronounced her name.
Yeah, and we eventually got it right.
But it is, in fact, Ashley.
Well, it was Chris Pollard that told us.
Yeah, yeah.
Being married to an Irish.
But in her email now, she's spelt it out for me.
Ashley.
Because
it's spelt like Ailing, isn't it? Or
A-I-S-L-I, because it's Gaelic.
Ailing.
But it's Ashley Madden. And she's given us an update on her Kickstarter program, and I want to cover this because this is really important, and she hasn't got long to raise the rest of the money on this, and we need you to help with this. It says, "Hi, Paul. Thanks so much for promoting my Kickstarter last week on the Business Bug Show. I thought I would drop you a quick line to keep you up to date with Zenji Heels' Muzzy Bug and the progress that we're making. I'd like to thank everyone, especially all Business Bunker listeners, who helped to spread the word about my Mindfulness for Children Kickstarter campaign. We've gotten such a great response from the public to date. I'm being inundated with lovely tweets and emails and Facebook messages from parents all over the world who are excited to discover an entertaining way that can help their overtired tots sleep at bedtime. And Jules, and from well-being advocates who are delighted that Zenji Heals His Muzzy Bug and the Buddha Bugs brand enable mindfulness to reach a wider audience. The general consensus is that mindfulness is key to improving mental health and balance in our children's lives. That Zenji Heals His Muzzy Bug is a great concept, which is long overdue, and that the Buddha Bugs brand is the perfect vessel to instill much needed stress busting and sleep skills in children from an early age. Everybody that hears about my Kickstarter campaign falls in love with the idea, but that's all it is at the moment, an idea. There are only 17 days left to turn this idea into reality. To date, the project is 25% funded, and unless my goal is reached by April 23rd, Zenji Heals His Muzzy Bug will not come to fruition. If I fail to reach my goal, all pledges received so far will be returned to the backers, and Zenji Heals His Muzzy Bug will remain unpublished. This is not just about backing one book, it's about helping to create a potentially life-changing brand for children. A brand that will entertain, shepherd and comfort children by introducing them to mindfulness and well-being. I need your listeners' help to get this mindfulness brand off the ground. I urge everyone that believes in the concept to back this project and turn this mindful dream into reality. It would be great if you could do a shout out to your listeners, and hopefully together we can make this happen. Thank you so much for all of your support so far. It's a great comfort knowing that so many like-minded people see and feel the need for change. The link to the Kickstarter campaign is on it's a bit shorter link that she's given me here, but it's Buddha Bugs, BuddaBugzz, and you can go to kickstarter.com and search for Zenji, that's Zenji, or you can just follow Ashley on the Twitter, and her Twitter handle is Buddha Bugs, that's at BuddaBugzz, Buddha Bugs, BuddaBugzz. Follow them on the Twitter, you can find out all the access to their Kickstarter campaign. I backed the Kickstarter campaign last night. I thought it was a fantastic thing that they're doing. It looks absolutely wonderful. Please do give it all the support you can, because it's a project that really does deserve to fly. So do support Ashley and Buddha Bugs campaigned to get her book off
that
the
could
ground.
Be that could be a lovely TV show as well next, couldn't it? If the book gets published, you know, you never know, like be like the Teletubbies.
Yeah, well, it's funny you should say that, because Ashley is actually a TV presenter over there in Ireland on RTE. She actually does a domestic goddess TV programme, so she really ought to be on Scoff and Quaff at some point.
She can come on any time.
Yeah,
we were scoffing today some salted caramel that Chris Pollard brought
in. I saw
in.
That, yeah.
And I dispensed with it. Chris brought it in on our lovely gluten-free crackers, oat cakes, but I dispensed with the oat cakes because they would make me cough, wouldn't they, live on air? And so I just spooned it out of the jar.
You just licked it out of the jar,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, I had a big spoon.
I saw
lovely.
That.
Yeah, very
disgustrous.
Good.
Yeah. We've had a tweet from the Herbs Palsy group that says, Vanilla Web, thank you so much for your invaluable support for our Zoomathon. Absolute pleasure. And we wish you much luck with it. We've also had a tweet from Cars from Kent, who say, hey, Vanilla Web, it's competition time at Cars from Kent. Your chance to win free fuel.
Free fuel?
Free fuel. I suggest you follow them on the Twitter, Cars from Kent, or you go to their website, which is carsfromkent.com /competition, and find out all about the free fuel.
Then you can say it.
Free fuel. I said it.
Yeah, but you're spraying.
That's
spraying
what,
all
that's
around.
That's why I've got a spit guard.
Yeah.
So that's Cars from Kent, and you can follow them on the Twitter at Cars from Kent, or you can go to their website, carsfromkent.com. We've also had a tweet from Fruit Bowl Media that says, hi, Vanilla Web and Jules Serkin. Shout out, please. We design cost-effective startup websites, which are highly manageable. Do check us out at fruitbowlmedia.com. Thank you. Pleasure.
I'm just looking at a little Twitter tweet that I've had from Kent Tweetups. Of course, you can find out more about them at kenttweetup.co.uk. Free business community networking and, you know, mingling. There's a business community breakfast talking about this. It's a revival. Colin Brown has very kindly agreed to take over the chair, so all future communications will come through him. This is from the lovely Ken Wheeler. And their next meeting will be in the new venue, which is the Honourable Pilot, and it's on April the 9th, so that's Thursday, I believe.
Yeah. And the Honourable Pilot's in Gillingham, by the way.
Gillingham. Mm-hmm. We will meet between, if you're a train driver, it's Gillingham. Gillingham. The yes. train will stop at Gillingham. We will meet between 7:30 a.m.
Well, that all depends, actually.
Does it?
It depends on whether you're going to Gillingham in Kent or Gillingham in Devon.
Is there a Gillingham?
There's a Gillingham.
And is it spelled the same?
Exactly the same.
Well, that's very frustrating, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, wouldn't that be pole dark country down there?
Almost.
Yeah, nearly.
But it's not mandatory that you take your shirt off when you cross the Tamar River. Just trust me on that.
I used to know a girl called Tamar, which I thought was a really lovely name.
Was she a river as well?
Yeah, well, a river ran through her or something, or maybe her mum liked the river, I'm not sure. But the flexible format, says Ken Wheeler, and the buffet-style breakfast facility mean that you can turn up and you can leave as you will. So it's very relaxed, is what he's saying. You need to pay when you get there. It's $8.75 for a full English and $6.25 for the Continental. You can get as many top-ups as you like. So to find out more, you can email Ken at businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk. Now, they need to really update this, because if Colin Brown has taken over, why are they still giving us Ken's email? This is what I want to know.
I don't know.
They need to be whipped into shape, these boys, don't they?
Well, maybe Ken's handling the emails and Colin's handling the day-to-day.
Well, I just find it a bit confusing.
Well, you're...
But I find most things confusing.
You do. Yeah, absolutely. I've got nothing more to add to that.
I've had a little email here. This is about some HR advice, so this sounds good. It's a new look for spring. Early 2015 has been very busy for us. Now, who is this? It's their eighth year. It is Loch Estates Employment Lawyers, sister company, and they've rebranded with a new look and are pleased to announce the launch of their new website, which is www.hradvise, that's ADVISE.me. So they're asking you to, after 8 years, they've changed their branding and they want you to have a look at the new website and get in touch if you'd like some HR advice.
Cool.
So they were previously Loch Associates, were they?
No, they are still Loch Associates. They just have an associated company which is called
HR Advise Me.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, so check it out on the website.
Absolutely. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage?
We're going to play a bit of tunage.
What have we got?
Well, it's a tune I don't know very well, actually.
Is it the Marvin Gaye one?
No, it's not, because I couldn't
find
that. No, this was a special request, but it was a special request from Mike Thompson, who I was working with over the weekend.
From one of your Dolly Birds?
Does Mike Thompson sound like a Dolly Bird?
No.
Exactly.
Not really.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Mike and I were working over the weekend, and I was putting the show together, and I said, pick a track. And he went, Howard Jones, Like to Get to Know You Well.
Oh, I love that song. Yeah.
So
little spiky-haired Howard.
Yeah. So there you go.
I remember him.
Yeah.
I do too. There are millions of small businesses in the UK, but in 2013, only 13,000 of them claimed back the cash that they were entitled to from the government. £46,000 on average, they say. If you've spent time and resources carrying out new product development or working on innovative solutions, you could reduce your tax bill or secure a cash injection of up to 25% of what you've spent. Ramona did.
I own a small business in Kent called Dr. Oats Limited. We recently created a new kind of healthy drink. I was told that RIFT Research and Development could help me claim back on our innovation costs. I was a little apprehensive at first, but RIFT dealt with everything professionally and efficiently, and we got back thousands for the time and costs we invested. I found the whole process so simple, and I would definitely recommend them.
To find out if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk today. That's innovationreward.co.uk.
Need inspiration? Join in the conversation with hashtag Daily Bread from Mike Waterton.
Jobsinkent.com. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 7th of April, with me, Paul Andrews, and her, Jill Sirkin.
Minus her chocolate egg.
Yeah.
Can you hear little children screeching?
Yeah, well, it's still the Easter half term, isn't it? And there's loads of kiddies playing around outside in the Hagelands Farm Activity Centre.
I might go on that little roundabout later.
Yeah, I thought you might have a go.
I don't
on
know
that.
If I can squash my posterior in those little swing seats.
Yeah, but you've already come unstuck once today, though, haven't you?
Yes, we have. Yeah. Yes, let's not talk about
Shall
it.
Shall we not mention
I
that?
I had to do a little war dance on the grass.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wasn't
anyway,
very nice.
Yes. Anyway. We've had a tweet from Monica Jansons, and she says, "Hi, Paul. Please could you mention our grade-boosting GCSE revision courses running on the 2nd and 3rd of May? You can find out about them at our website, which is bespokeprivatetuition.co.uk. That's all one word. bespokeprivatetuition.co.uk, and Monica is running grade-boosting GCSE revision courses 2nd and 3rd of May. You need to get on that.
I
if
do,
you're
yeah.
at all worried about where you're going to come on the grades. Yeah, absolutely. So that's Monica Jensen's, and you can follow Monica on the Twitter at Monica, M-O-N-I-C-A, BP Tuition, all one word, Monica BP Tuition. Follow her on the Twitter. F Keys over there, the Microsoft Office training people, have also tweeted in, as has
lovely Alex Waterton,
James at B Mentoring Plus, who says, "Yay, it's Business Bunker Day already!" And then he's got a hashtag that says, "Doesn't get much better than this." In shortened hashtags. Thank you, James.
He's cool. Very creative.
He is indeed. And Lucy Hall, the lovely, gorgeous Lucy Hall, has said, "Hello, Vanilla Web. Please could you shout out at Kent Social Media." That's a Twitter handle, at Kent Social Media. They have an awesome, affordable loyalty smartphone app for local businesses.
Mm.
And she has also tweeted a picture of what the app looks like, which looks pretty cool. So do follow Kent Social Media on the Twitter and find out more about their awesome, affordable loyalty smartphone app. And why wouldn't you?
It sounds great to me.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
So that's cool.
Now there's a Rachel Case who's talking about Embrace with Fear. She's on Wednesday, the April the 8th. Mm-hmm. It's at 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. at the Gulbenkian in Canterbury. It's a rocking little theatre there. So talk one is Rachel Case.
Oh, that's Digiberry.
Is it?
Digiberry, yeah.
Okay, yes, I'm sure I'll get to that later on in the email. Rachel Case is the first one, and she's saying embrace the fear. That's what her talk's about.
Right.
And then there's Hannah Philbeam, who is Design for Hackers. That's her talk.
Right.
And then talk three, there's Alaric King, and his or her talk is on inspiration, good, imitation, bad, developing your digital design mojo. And as my tea boy rightly says, it's the Institution of Engineering and Technology which will be taking over Digiberry to run the Kent Heat of the annual Present Around the World, I guess that must be. Mm. A global competition for students, recent graduates, apprentices and young professionals aged 18 to 26 years. So come along, they say, on Wednesday to learn more about how you can get involved in this exciting initiative. So that's present around the world, or present around the world.
Yeah, and that's Digiberry, which is a regular event, happens at the Gulbenkian Theatre on the University of Kent campus there, and it's for geeks.
Isn't that, basically. Didn't they used to have something at Fruitworks, though, as well? Weren't they there once?
No. Fruitworks is Fruitworks Create.
Yeah.
And Digiberry is a separate thing run by Tim Deason.
Yeah. I thought he occasionally was at your place as well, though, at Fruitworks.
Well, the guys will come over and come to our events, and we go to their events because they're all good events, but they're separate and different.
Is there beer at both?
There's not beer at Digiberry.
Oh, well.
Well, there used to be when they held it in a pub, but as far as I know, there isn't. We do free beer at Create because nobody would come otherwise. But at Digiberry, they don't need to because it's all Geek Central and they talk geeky stuff.
This James at Be Mentoring Plus, he's quite naughty, isn't he? He's a stirrer, isn't he? We should buy him a wooden spoon.
Really?
Because he plays us, doesn't he?
Does he?
He's saying, is there video footage of Jules Serkin doing the war dance on the grass? Please say there is.
Yeah, absolutely there is, James. You want to see it? I'm going to post it on Facebook later.
James, the story is, we must let him in on this. Yeah. What happened was, I get up very early, I drive in from Whitstable, I came out of my car gasping for a little drink, a cup of tea or something.
Bottle of Prosecco. It was nearly 9 o'clock this morning.
Yeah. And then what happened was I stepped out of my car and thought there was a rather sort of farmyard smell around. And I'd stepped out of my car, my little boots, straight into some alpaca poo, a big dollop of it, which I suspect Paul Andrews had planted as some sort of April the Fool's joke. You know, post April Fool's, still continuing because he's just a boy. And then, because my boots have sort of got ridges in, I couldn't get it out, so I had to go do a war dance.
It was really funny, James. I really do wish I had video footage.
Very smelly.
And do you know what? If I had set that up, I would have been incredibly proud, but sadly I didn't.
It wasn't amusing.
It was highly amusing, trust me.
And the thing is, as you know, the damp grass just didn't go in the ridges of my boots. So then I had to prance back in because I've got
I've got to tell you, listener, she kept walking in and out, hopping in and out, going, is there any stuff caught in my boots still? And I went, yeah. And she said, the problem is I can't bend over enough to get it out. And I said, take your boot off. And she went, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
So then I had to get some Ajax and sit down and spray the boot with Ajax and then get a stick and poke it out. It wasn't very pleasant.
It was really not nice.
No, not pleasant at all. But had I walked it into the studio, well, my name would have been mud.
Your name would have been exactly what was on the bottom of your shoes.
Yeah, it would have done.
Absolutely. And on that fine note, on that absolutely fine note, it's probably time to introduce our first guest.
Fragrant guest.
Yeah, what an introduction to have, yeah. Yeah,
where did you park your car, just out of interest?
It was a funny spell near.
Hey, listen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time Mr. Steve Jessop of Advantage Business Partnerships. Steve, welcome onto the show. Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Now, I first met you a few weeks ago when we were introduced by the lovely Shirley Mansfield. And we had supper together, you, me and Shirley. And it was absolutely amazing. Our kind of lives were almost a mirror image of each other, a complete parallel. We're from exactly the same.
Did you order the same as well?
No, but it wasn't that. I mean, we're talking long term here. Yeah. We're from the same place, with a very similar background,
really?
Very similar things. Yeah, absolutely amazing. Really, almost quite spooky.
What's your birth sign?
Virgo.
Well, then he's not Leo, is he?
No, but Virgo. See, I'm
on the cusp.
I'm on the cusp. You know, it's all.
So, what did you have in common then?
Well, just about everything. Basically, we're from exactly the same place. We're roughly similar ages, roughly similar backgrounds.
Same haircut.
The same haircut.
Steve
has
weathered so much better.
He does look better than me. That is true, and he is slightly younger than me as well. But
are you married, Steve?
Yeah.
Well, I think Mrs. Jessop does a very good job because you've got lovely skin and, you know, she obviously gives you your vegetables and things like that.
I'm very well looked after.
Yeah, I can tell. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Whereas Paul Andrews hasn't got a chance. He hasn't got a kitchen.
Yeah, that's true.
He has to nip down the road and get kebabs.
This
and
is a kebab face I've got, yeah. Anyway, enough of that nonsense. I'd much rather talk to Steve about interesting things rather than your nonsense, Mrs. Serkin.
He's got nice teeth as well, look.
Oh, give over.
You mentioned Prosecco earlier, Paul.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know where the biggest market in the world for Prosecco is?
Whitstable?
Yeah, here. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What about Carver? It's my other one weakness.
Yeah. The world Prosecco shortage is entirely down to Jules. Yeah. She's a six bottle a day girl.
My goodness.
Yeah. And then she goes out for lunch.
There's no hope for you.
No. Anyway, enough of that. Steve, why don't you tell the listener a little bit about ABP, Advantage Business Partnerships, and your role there. Basically, you're a sales guru, is really what it is. Sales and marketing man, and that's something that I want to explore with you, because it is one of the things we're not very good at in this country.
No, we're not.
But let's start off by giving an overview of ABP and what you do there.
Okay. ABP are a business support organisation, 3 years standing, a wide range of support services for that SME space, that mid-market space, the backbone of our economy. The founder, who came out of a large household name financial institution, was running a division of that institution, doing very well for himself.
You can tell us the name.
Barclays.
Really?
Never heard of it.
Yeah. And his exposure to the middle market, and he did some pro bono work in the mid-market, I believe, and he saw that it was dramatically underserved, that the standard of advice and the awareness of the advice available was abysmal.
Yeah.
And that triggered his starting the business 3 years ago.
Right.
And I was introduced to him and to the organisation last summer.
Right.
And I thought, actually, there's nothing like this in the mid-space in the UK at all. So I was quite fired up about it. And I started working with them last summer and joined the leadership team more recently. Mm. I've got a kind of business development at large role, which isn't surprising given my background.
Sure.
I'm a career sales and marketing professional.
Mm.
It's been great fun. And our services range from finance, arranging and organising finance. If you go onto the website, there's a product called Finance Finder. Sitting behind that, there are a panel of 125 different potential lenders.
Wow.
So it's kind of seed upwards from sort of organising it, finding it. And then there are people like me nationally, probably not quite like me, but 30-odd of us in just about every discipline you could imagine.
Right.
Who are coaches, mentors, trainers, workers, consultants, and help organisations to grow.
Right.
And if you go on the website, Advantage Business Limited, LTDLimited.com.
Yeah, there is a link on the Kent Business Radio website on the homepage. There is a link to the website.
Thanks. If you go on there, there's a business diagnostic, which we call SPAR, Strategic Performance Assessment.
Yeah, I was interested in that. It would be really useful if you could give us a little bit of background to that, because it looks like a really fascinating tool.
Yeah, in very short order, within 10 or 15 minutes, the business can complete the diagnostic, and it allows us to compute it very quickly and give them feedback on where the areas for improvement are in nine different disciplines, and give them some feedback very quickly. So it's a kind of self-help tool, a diagnostic that allows businesses to see where the gaps are that need to strengthen to grow.
Cool. So one can go into the website, do a short survey or answer some questions in this diagnostic, and then get feedback almost instantly.
Yes, and it drops down into three different categories: startup, high growth, and turnaround.
Right.
So, yeah, in very short order, the business can see where the areas are for improvement.
Fantastic. That sounds like a really useful tool.
It is.
As I say, there is a link to the website on the Kent Business Radio website, so you can find it there. Just click on Advantage Business Partners, and it will take you straight to the website.
Absolutely.
And you can find that tool if you want to have a little go at seeing where you stand.
Absolutely.
Mm, cool. Let's develop this a bit now then, Steve, and give people a bit of background about you personally and what your background is and your area of expertise.
Okay. I've worked in five different markets. It's quite unusual for someone in my kind of role. Mm. I started off in FMCG, fast moving consumable goods. I worked for Carnation Foods a very long time ago, late 70s.
Right.
I then worked for the commercial division of what was Bowater Scott, a large Kent employer in its day, with a mill at Northfleet.
Yeah.
and I worked for the commercial division, so Bowater Scott was better known for the household name consumer brands.
Yeah.
Andrex, Fiesta, Scotties, you know, big names in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
And actually the commercial business, which wasn't as big in terms or as prominent in terms of profile with all the advertising, the Scotty dog and so on, the Andrex dog, but actually pro rata was a much more profitable business.
Sure.
And it was real man and boy stuff for me. I worked there for 6 years. I was promoted, dare I say, four times. I won a lot of silverware. I had a fabulous time. I was their youngest ever sales manager at 26.
Right.
I worked in national accounts before that at 24. Seven in the team. I think I generated nearly half the new business on my own.
Right.
Just fabulous. I just worked a bit harder than everyone else, I think. I think it was so much skill. I think it was more sweat, to be honest.
Right.
Then I went to work for the market leader in contract wall coverings in London. We had our first, she's now 29, but we had our first child, and I wasn't prepared to sacrifice all of my wife's salary, so I changed jobs.
Right.
And I went to work for the market leader in contract wall coverings in London, much bigger team, P&L responsibility. After that, I worked for a large, in the pre-Big Bang time, the loony times, worked for a large London and Manchester-based IBM PC reseller for a while. After that, I worked for 4 years for the largest sales and sales management training company in the world, selling and delivering a range of off-the-shelf and bespoke training programs. And I ran three pan-European accounts as well from the UK. I then went to work in IT services and recruitment for one of my clients. 2 years, and then two of us sat down 2 years after that and wrote the business plan in the early 90s for a sales improvement consultancy called Quantum Sales and Marketing Services.
Right.
And that's what I did for quite a long time afterwards,
sure.
Working as a business advisor and a consultant for some household name organisations. We worked with Virgin Atlantic globally for 10 years, for
right.
example.
Right.
And they are widely believed to have the best sales operation in the airline industry. And from the most senior levels downwards, it's widely acknowledged that we had a lot to do with that.
Mm.
And more recently, I've worked with smaller businesses in a number of sectors, manufacturing, media, marketing, professional services. And that's how I came to be working with ABP more recently.
Cool. I mean, a long and detailed background in lots of different industries, which is unusual as well.
Yeah.
But the one theme that ties all of that together is sales and marketing and business development.
Yeah.
And that's an area that I want to talk to you about in general terms for a moment, if we may, Steve, because every business on the planet, and in fact, every organisation, really, if you think about it, has a sales function.
Yes.
But in the UK, it's something we don't do very well. And it's also something I feel, and maybe you disagree or you have a view on this, but I think it's something that we don't get enough people into sales as a profession.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure why that is.
Well, professionally, it's the biggest discipline in terms of headcount.
Mm.
It's the most populated.
So yeah.
That's quite surprising in its own right, isn't it?
It is. It is, because, I mean, it's incredibly hard to find good salespeople.
Yes, we know that.
Don't we? You know, it just is, you know.
But there is an art to selling, isn't there?
Of course.
It's actually a bit of each. There's quite a lot of science in there, Jules, as well.
Mm.
Yeah, that saying, Nietzsche said, you know, those who were seen dancing were thought to be insane by those who couldn't hear the music. You know, it's that kind of syndrome. It's widely misunderstood, and there's a lot of cliche and baggage associated with it.
Mm.
And some of that is fair, because there's been some bad behaviour over the years and some shoddy practice.
Sure.
But in my view, there's a lot more, the word I use is method, there's a lot more method in selling than is popularly understood.
Mm.
So, you know, if you take kind of art at one end as a one and science as a ten, you know, art, smoke and mirrors, it's all about creativity and you can't quantify it or slice it up. And at the other end, the opposite, you know, kind of spreadsheet, slice and dice.
Yeah.
You know, I think selling's a six.
Right.
And I'm not a process guy by background at all.
Sure.
You know, I'd much rather look someone in the eyes and talk to them than look at a spreadsheet any day of the week.
Sure.
But even I, you know, that kind of background, even I can see the value of the method.
Yeah.
So good salespeople, there are certain attributes they need to be successful.
Sure.
You know, for example, you have to be unafraid to ask for what you want.
Yeah.
For example, you need a sense of humour, you need bags of energy. So there are personal attributes that you need to bring to the table, but they're taught. You learn. So, you know, it's kind of, you wouldn't walk into Smith's and see a paperback on the shelf that said how to be a dentist. And it's kind of the same with selling, you know, you need to learn it.
Absolutely. It's interesting, isn't it? Because there are lots of different ways of selling, and there's lots of different things in the selling market. And people can get quite confused about this. And certainly a few years ago, not so much now, one of the big things was telesales, which can be soul-destroying at the best of times. Having done it myself, I know, you know, you can only be told to do one so many times a day before it gets to you. But the problem is then people equated the whole sales universe with something which was a vanishingly small part of it, which was just telesales. There's a lot more to sales. There's lots of different ways of doing sales. There's all kinds of different ways of doing sales. And it did surprise me when you said that there are more people working sales than anything else, and it shouldn't, because there should be.
Yeah. Otherwise, how do you get your business?
Exactly. So even more so, it makes it more surprising that it's really hard to find good salespeople.
Well, what's more important than keeping and winning customers?
Yeah.
I mean, what's more important? You know, to make it and sell it. That's
absolutely
one of the most important things in business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you talked about the scientific elements of it. Can you kind of step us through some of those things? I mean, because that's fascinating, because people don't always think about it. You know, they do think of it as, as a blagging kind of business where, you know, if you can talk the hind legs off a donkey, people like Jules.
Are you saying I'm a donkey or a hind leg?
No, you stepped in something that a donkey.
Pots and kettles,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah. But, you know, people go, well, you know, if you can't do that, then you're not a salesperson. But if there's a science to it, then clearly there are other ways of doing it. So just step us through some of the scientific aspects of sales.
Well, the three best salespeople I know personally, not one of them's got a sales background, for example.
Right.
So it's a much more to do with thinking about what you have for your potential customer, which we call sales propositions.
So what you're offering.
Yeah, absolutely. Where and how it's got competitive advantage over who you might be competing with, which could include do nothing or do it yourself, of course. And then driving the dialogue that finds and quantifies the needs and the wants, and they are different, wants being emotionally based, needs being logically based, and then being able to sort of quantify where you add the value as a result of driving that dialogue and put a solution together that works for the customer.
Right.
Hey presto, yes, that sounds very good. Can I have one of those, please?
Sure.
That takes a lot of preparation. It takes imagination. It takes courage. You know, those kind of things need to be learned and practiced.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't leave the womb with those things.
Right.
So in a qualitative sense, obviously there's quite a lot in there, but in a simplistic description, that's kind of the qualitative side of it. But of course you have to turn up enough, you know, and you have to be targeting the right kind of potential customers with the kind of services that you want to sell them, and at the right level, and we call it DMP, decision making process, at the right level of the decision making process. So for example, too many salespeople let other people do their selling for them, because they're not actually talking to the right people. So, you know, the quantity direction, we call it, which is the right customers, right product, right level of the decision making process. And quantity, you have to turn up enough, and that can all be planned and managed, which is why I think, in a simple way, it's why I think it's a six rather than a one or a two, because those things can be planned and organised.
Sure. And what you've just said there would lead me to suppose that some people that struggle with the sales function are people that have got that slightly wrong, in terms of, because it would strike me that if you do all the targeting properly and you know who and what and why and where, you're more likely to be successful. And the reason a lot of people aren't successful is because they haven't got that right in the first place, and they're throwing as much muck as they can at a blanket and hoping some of it sticks.
Oh, you've mentioned muck.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
It's the theme of the day. And hoping some of it sticks, and then getting disillusioned when it doesn't, because it wouldn't, if you see what I mean. So it would strike me that a lot of people struggle with sales because they haven't done that scientific bit. They just go out, talk to people without really thinking about whether it's the right person with the right offering and all the rest of it. So, in fact, you're wasting your time.
Absolutely.
With a lot of people.
And it is that combination of those three elements of activity. Mm. You do have to turn up enough. That's not to suggest for a second, I think, selling's a numbers game, because it isn't.
Right.
It really isn't.
Yeah.
But equally, you know, if you get out of bed at 10 o'clock in the morning and go home at lunchtime, you know, and you hit your targets, either they're too low, your targets, or you're a very lucky person, because actually there is a perspiration issue as well.
Absolutely.
And that can be planned and it can be managed. And it can be. It really can be.
Absolutely. It would also... I mean, I'm not a salesperson. I've never been a salesperson until...
I think you're a natural salesperson.
Well, let me finish what I was going to say. Until I started running my own business, when you then have to... You have to sell, otherwise you don't have a business. But I've never thought of myself as a salesperson, if you see what I mean, because that wasn't my background. One of the things that I've found, and maybe, you know, you've got a view on this as well, that increasingly over the last couple of years, selling has become much more, even though it was already, but much more of a relationship-based business, where you really are building relationships with people, not just, you know, chucking stuff out. And one of the funny things is in a kind of reverse of how you would normally think about it, things like social media has made that more needed than before, because you can now get at people that you couldn't get at before in sheer numbers. It's almost that you've there's too much, and now you have to quantify it more. And maybe I'm burbling here, but I don't know what you think about that, Steve, but about the relationship side of it.
Incredibly important. Yeah, it's the huge cliche that people buy people, and obviously they do. Mm. If it was just about that, you know, my postman would be the best salesman in the world. Mm. You know, he's a lovely bloke. You can sell a glass of water to a man dying of thirst. You know?
Yeah.
It's a combination of the logic and emotion. Mm. And what social media has done is it's allowed a bucket load of the latter to come into the mix.
Yeah.
So I've seen statistical evidence quite recently that says, you know, in corporatedom, 60% of the sale has already taken place. The customer's done his or her research, and that's another big factor, that the customer is considerably better informed than
absolutely
he or she used to be before you even make contact.
Yeah.
So the relationship, you know, in its widest sense, the relationship element of the sale is incredibly important. Mm. You know, and if you look at the iceberg principle, you know, about 10% or so above the surface of the water, 90% at the underneath, you know, the reasons why people buy, it's under the surface. And so social media is one very useful tool to find out more about what's under the surface,
right,
so that we can sell more effectively to people. So I see it as a fabulous tool.
Absolutely. But quite rightly, as you say, a lot of people haven't kind of tweaked that now at the moment, and they're just using it as a receptacle to chuck stuff at.
Absolutely.
And they need to think about it a bit more.
Absolutely.
But from what you're saying, the whole sales process needs a bit more thought behind it for some people.
It's probably this afternoon's understatement, because, you know, it's the whole kind of, what have we got? Why should the customer buy it? Mm. How do I substantiate that and prove it?
Yeah.
You know, why should they be interested? So your comments earlier about the telesales syndrome, it made me think about kind of a subset of that, which is appointment making.
Yeah.
So, you know, the biggest single problem with trying to get appointments is just that. It's getting the individual you want on the phone, which is kind of where social media comes in.
Yeah.
It's getting someone to come to the well and take the water, you know.
Yeah.
But the big but is, and again, it's to do with the cliche and the baggage, calling someone to make an appointment and getting them to the phone is a major challenge, of course.
Absolutely.
But access, you know, for me, 20 odd years of business consulting, selling a business service, by miles the biggest challenge is access to the kind of people I want to sell to, which is why the network's so important, of course.
Absolutely.
So important.
Yeah.
But the appointment making issue is, it's not like ringing someone up at home to sell them double glazing at 7 o'clock in the evening while they're eating their egg and chips.
Mm.
You know, this is a business person calling a business person to talk about something that's likely to be of interest to them.
Sure.
Part of their job is evaluating options.
Mm.
Nothing like the cliche. It's completely different.
Yeah.
And then that's the first hurdle people have to get over when they're thinking about actually making contact with a potential customer, you know, whether it's on the phone or initially by email or whatever, you know, it's actually, this might be of interest to you, Mr. Prospect.
Absolutely. I have to tell you, I'm the worst of all people with things like that. When when I it doesn't happen so much now because I'm not in the office very often. I keep on the move and people can't pin me down. But when I used to be based in the office more and I get unsolicited phone calls from people, I was one of those awful people that would give the salesperson a lecture on the phone about how to do sales properly. Don't you hate people like me? You know, but you did hear some really bad things, you know, people that had obviously done the course and been told to use people's names and stuff like that. So you get the, hello, Paul, I'd just like to, Paul, I'd just like to, and I go, I know my name, thank you, you can stop using it now.
Yeah, overusing.
Yeah, you know, calm down a little bit and let's do this properly. Yeah. And, you know, scripting and things like that just used to drive me nuts.
I actually sell back to them, you know, so I say, would you like to come on the Business Bunker? Or, you know, tell us about your business, you know. Yeah. Sell back, I quite like doing that.
Yeah. Generally speaking, professional...
This is the man that didn't want any water, yeah, look, he loves it now.
Professional people generally are easy to sell to if you're professional. Right. Unfortunately, the majority aren't.
Yeah.
So, you know, if someone sitting here now knows me professionally,
yeah,
they say, actually, Steve's a very easy person to sell to if you go about your business professionally.
Yeah.
The problem is most don't.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm contemptuous of people who aren't professional.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And what used to drive me mad, because I actually knew someone who was exceptionally good at selling on the phone, and the one thing they never did was sold. It was always a conversation. It was, you know, it was almost an afterthought to mention what they did at the end of a conversation, where having had a 10-minute conversation with someone, they went, well, can you help me with it? Well, funnily enough, I can, you know. And I love that approach to it, where it is about building relationship. And salespeople that work for me, I would tell them that as often as I could, because a lot of people, especially people new to the business, would come into it and would try to close the call before they've even started it. Do you know what I mean? They'd ring up and go, do you want to buy one of these? Oh, okay, then buy. And you go, that's never going to work in a million years. You've got to, you know, ease yourself into this and establish a relationship with this person.
Biggest mistake in selling, and people say it's making assumptions, which is a close second, not listening enough, a very close third, but top for us and has been for several decades, is they pitch too early.
Yeah.
They don't take enough time. And I talk about don't take the apple, you want the tree.
Yeah.
So take your time, don't rush, listen carefully, you know, ask intelligent questions, shut your face and listen.
Absolutely.
And they just don't do it. You know, yeah. They pitch far too early. That's their biggest mistake, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And you're... Your point there, you know, to give it a label, I call that, you know, the best sale is when the customer buys.
Yeah.
Which is really kind of what you said, Rin.
Absolutely. Steve, we could talk about this forever. Unfortunately, we've kind of run out of time now. Give us another shout for your website, your Twitter handle, or wherever, however you want people to interact with you.
Okay.
So your website is?
www.advantagebusinessltd.com.
Fantastic, and there's a link on the Business Bunker website for that. If you want people to follow you on your Twitter, give us your Twitter handle and we'll get people to follow you.
At Stephen Jessop 1.
That's
Stephen with a V.
And the number 1 rather than O-N-E.
And the number 1, yeah.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
Thank you, Paul.
For the moment,
thank you,
Steve Jessop of Advantage Business Partnership, thank you so much for that.
And you can also follow it on the Twitter timeline at Advantage_BP and Leading_Thought_.
Cool. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage.
We're going to have a little bit of tunage and a break, and then we'll be back straight after that.
Fabulous.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Channel Radio.